Earners, what's up? You ever wonder what's around the next corner? What happens if you push just a little further? With Nissan SUVs, you're equipped to take your adventure to unimagined levels. Imagine the possibilities with a Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada. Go ahead, find your next big adventure. And while you're out there exploring the unknown, the class-exclusive Google built-in becomes your ultimate co-pilot. No need to fumble with your phone. With Google Assistant, Google Maps, and the Google Play Store integrated into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the 2024 Nissan Rogue, your journey becomes seamless. Ask for directions, stream your adventure playlist, or send messages hands-free, all while keeping your focus on the adventure ahead. This just isn't any drive. It's a journey powered by innovation, where the road less traveled isn't just seen, it's experienced. The 2024 Nissan line aren't just SUVs. They're your gateway to adventure, equipped with the tools you need to explore every corner of the world around you. Nissan, dare to do what others don't. Visit your local Nissan dealer or NissanUSA.com to find out more and take the first step into your next adventure today.
It's really a shame because what we are really experiencing is we don't have enough inventory, especially the lower the price of the rental apartment, the less inventory we have, and those people have the least amount of money to spend on that rent. That's a terrible state. Nobody's building new housing. The commercial market is probably the worst part of the residential market right now, all brought to you by COVID and working at home. I don't think anybody's got a solution to it yet.
What is your thoughts on the current state of real estate in America, specifically New York City and commercial real estate?
In commercial real estate, we've already had the crash. Nobody wants to label it a crash. Every big guy who owns banks, institutions, individuals who own some of these huge, prestigious commercial buildings are half empty. They don't admit it. They're not making any money. The banks have to deal with it. The banks don't want to foreclose on it because they don't know what to do with the damn things. It's a real problem. The commercial market is probably the worst part of the residential market right now, all brought to you by COVID and working at home. People don't want to go to the inner city and work so much unless they are forced to. Now, there's so much space available, so much space that people are collecting rent on that large corporations aren't even using. That's going to come out in the wash.
What do you think will happen? Will that be converted to residential housing or?
It's hard to do. It depends upon the city. You know, the federal government has a phenomenal program that provides all the financing to convert the buildings to residential. And there's a trend in the United States that the tallest buildings now are rental buildings, residential rental buildings. The tallest buildings used to be commercial, used to be condos, fancy condos. That's totally changed. But it's a difficult thing because what you have in New York is you have huge floor plates with not enough windows. And legally, you have to have a window in every room to qualify as a room. So you have broad, full city blocks, windows on four sides, but all the interim can't be usable space. So it is a problem. I don't think anybody's got a solution to it yet.
How do you feel about the residential real estate market? Because that's another issue. Rents at all-time high. Mm-hmm. Inventory is very low. Salaries have not gone up. So a lot of people are struggling to actually find somewhere to live, and they're getting squeezed out. You have hedge funds that's buying residential homes at record-breaking numbers. So this is another major issue that we're in. And there's no real solution for that either. So what's your thoughts on the American residential market?
It is really a shame because what we are really experiencing is we don't have enough inventory, especially the lower the price of the rental apartment, the less inventory we have. And those people have the least amount of money to spend on that rent. All right. That's a terrible state. Nobody's building new housing except for the middle class and the rich. And that's really true across the nation. Rents have come down and people get excited about rents coming down by 2 or 3%. But who are they coming down for? They're coming down for the luxury market, not for the people who are desperate to get their hands on an apartment. Okay, so it's really, I think that's the obligation of the federal government, to put a lot of money in there, make sure the inventory is high. And even if they were to step up to the plate right now, it would probably take 4 or 5 years to even level things out. That's not even speaking to a first-time buyer wanting to have the American dream of buying their first home. Forget about that. They lose 5 bids to get one. They can't get the financing. The financing is high. It's a really dire state. Again, if you have enough money to go in all cash, pay what you want, all that's cool, you know? You can overbid everybody. But for the great majority of us, it just doesn't work that way. And it's very upsetting. I think we probably have the choppiest market I have seen in my days as a real estate agent.
You've been in this space for a long time, mm-hmm. A veteran, a legend. Talk about some of the, you know, you had some of the highlights, but talk about some of the challenges that you face, right? Being a woman in this space, being unorthodox about the way you're going about promoting. Talk about some of the challenges that you face from traditional media, from the industry in itself.
Honestly, the things that I saw as a young woman as a challenge, in hindsight, were my assets. I just wasn't looking at it straight. You know, so much of life is how you look at things. I saw myself as the only woman in an all-male game. I saw myself as a poor kid from New Jersey who didn't have anything to work with. And I was competing against the rich old boy network, the big guys whose sons and grandsons inherited the money from their dad. They own the buildings, they own the market, they control the market. And I saw that as almost insurmountable until I decided I was going to be the queen of New York real estate. Until I had that dream and I could see it in living color. And I know it sounds weird, but I could taste it. If you'd think you could taste a dream, it sounds crazy. But I could taste the red suit I had on. I could taste the high heels I was wearing. I could taste all that. And once I made up my mind I was going to be the queen of New York real estate, I started noticing other things. Once I allowed that dream, I noticed that the guys were asleep at the wheel. They were doing things the same old, same old. I noticed that in bad times, they never took risks because they protected their money. I noticed they never did anything out of the box, ordinary, anything creative, because what they had done in the last 30, 40, 60 years was working fine for the family and they didn't change anything. And the best thing I noticed, I used to feel insulted by walking into a room, say at the Real Estate Board of New York, an industry event, and nobody even saying hi to me or turning their back or just giving me a perfunctory, oh yes, like dismissal. That pissed me. I can't say piss me.
You can. No, you can.
I can't say piss. Yeah.
Well, say further than that.
Well, that definitely did that for me. I'm feeling my mother upstairs saying, don't do it. But that was the most insulting of all. But you know what it did for me? It made me say, I'm going to get even. I'm going to get you. I'm going to come back and bite you in the ass. You wait and see. And you know the advantage you have when nobody's taking you seriously nor watching you? You can do what you want. You can play around. You have no downside. What was I gonna lose by trying everything? I was gonna get my old job back, big deal. You know, I was happy as a waitress. I can get my old job back and do something else. But I realized all the things that seemed to confine me as a young woman when I looked at the horizon, making things seem impossible, were really just the way I was looking at it until I looked at the flip side of it, you know? And it doesn't mean if you look at things differently, it all works out, but it's the beginning of everything working out. Because you start to see the opportunity, and those opportunities are far more important than the hard times. Everyone who builds a business has to have challenges and get over obstacles and loses their good faith and has lousy self-talk to tell themselves they're no good, whatever they all go through. I went through all of that, but the whole time I went through all of that, I could see that dream. I knew what I was going to be wearing. I was like the Pope with everybody kissing my ring and waiting in line. I had this whole video thing going on in my head. And I think for me, that really gave me the compass to keep going because I really thought I could accomplish it.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.